I think by the end of this year, this scripture will be growing out of your head. If anybody comes to this church, in fact, by the end of January, a member of this church that doesn't know this by heart. Daniel 11:32, part B. It says, but the people that know their God shall be strong. And it says they shall do what? They shall carry out great exploits. I like the NKJV. New King James Version says they shall carry out great exploits. It says they shall carry out great exploits. Say, I will carry out great exploits. No, come on. Say, I turn to the person next to you. I am going to carry out great exploits. Turn to the person on the other side. Let them know I'm about to do some great exploits. And so it will be in the name of Jesus. The book of John chapter 14 verse 12 says something. Turn there if you may. Do I need to move this a bit or? John 14 12. Are you there? I want you to read it. You need to read it. John chapter 14 verse 12. Says that, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than this he will do because I go to my Father. Should I just use the handbelt? Amen. Praise God. What can we do without technology? He says, let me read it again. John chapter 14 verse 12 says something. He says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, this is Jesus speaking. He said, he that believes in him, you that you believe in him. He said that the works that he does, the works that I do, he will do also. Get this. And then he went on to say, and greater works than this he will do. He said that you will do greater works than he did when he walked on earth. I don't know if anybody believes this. The Bible says, Jesus himself speaking, he said, you will do greater works than he did if you believe in him. Father, we thank you. Once again, we thank you for this morning. Lord, once again, I ask, oh God, that you speak your word. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I just want to share one or two things with you, as I tend to do. And this morning, I've titled it, The Keys to the Supernatural. I want to share the keys to the supernatural, that will happen in your life. If you want a subtitle, you can call it The Profile of a Supernatural Achiever, Part 4. Hallelujah. I said we're going to get to Part 52 this year. You know, the beginning of the year, we started looking at the profile of a supernatural achiever. And I started, and just to lay the background, we started on the first Sunday of the year by looking at the life of David. Defined what I meant by supernatural exploits, which basically is the fact that God will put his own super, the extraordinary, when God breathes upon your natural abilities or what you're doing, it will become super. I was sharing with the workers this morning. I said, don't be fooled by the word supernatural, because the fact remains that this year you need to work hard. Amen? You have some work to do. But after you have done your work, or as you're doing it, God will breathe upon it, and that will cause it to become supernatural. Amen. And we started at we looked at the life of David, and we discovered that there were some things that David did, some things about his life that made him a supernatural achiever. One of the things we discovered is that David, he knew God. David loved God. We found out that he feared God. We found out that he consulted with God in everything he did. We discovered that at anything he put his hands to, He did it. He was committed to the cause. And then Pastor Tumisha in the second week spoke about knowing God. She spent some time talking about the importance of knowing God and what it means to know God. And then last week, I took it a bit from the natural perspective. And I spent some time talking about from the perspective of Nehemiah. And I shared that Nehemiah is a good a case study of somebody that achieved a lot. The Bible tells us that Nehemiah, when he heard about the walls of Jerusalem that were broken down, he caught the burden, he caught the vision. And once he caught the vision, what happened? Within 52 days, the walls were built. I pray in the name of Jesus that within the 52 weeks of this year, any wall in your life that may be in ruins, it shall be rebuilt in Jesus' name. I declare over your life this morning that the walls that may have been broken for many years, that before the end of this year, it shall be built, it shall be complete in the name of Jesus. Every area of your weakness that has hindered you in the past from becoming what God wants you to become, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray it shall become your strength in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says that Nehemiah in 52 days working with the leaders of Israel, they built the wall. And we looked at the life of Nehemiah, we found out a couple of things. We found out that Nehemiah had goals, he had vision. That was one of the key things that helped him. We found out that Nehemiah was able to harness the gifts of other people. So, well, you can call it teamwork. He did not believe that he could do it on his own. He harnessed the gifts. He identified the gifts that other people had and harnessed it and worked with the team. We found out that he worked hard. He was hardworking. He did not just sit and say that, oh, this work will be done. But they were hardworking. He was focused. There were many things that tried to distract him. I explained last week, just for the sake of those that are not there. I recommend that you get the tape or the message. But just for the sake that you know, because you were not there, we found out that when Nehemiah was so focused that when Sanballat, Tobiah, when they tried to come and get him from, stop him or disrupt him, what happened? He said that I cannot come down. I cannot leave the work that I'm doing. He was focused. Get this. Distractions will come your way this year. Opposition will come your way this year. Listen to me. Sanballat and Tobiah, they were distractions to the work God had called them to come and do. Anytime you have a challenge, it's either a challenge that wants to distract you and take you away from what God has called you to do, or it could be a challenge that would raise you to the next level to where God wants you to be. So you need to begin to be able to see challenges, your perspective about challenges, problems, trials, or whatever may come your way. You need to begin to change your perspective. You need to begin not to see it as something that puts a stop to your life, something that puts a stop to what God has called you to do. You need to begin to see it as something that will take me to a next level or something that needs to be walked through and parted. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? We find out that Nehemiah was focused on what God called him to do. He was not jumping from here to there. He was not distracted. And the last thing we found out about Nehemiah is the fact that he was courageous. He had courage. He had courage. You see, if you're going to achieve a lot, you cannot be faint-hearted. Those that are supernatural achievers, if they are going to do supernatural exploits, you cannot be faint-hearted. Are you listening to me this morning? That's just the background. So that's what we've been talking about. But this morning, as we read earlier in the book of John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said something. He said that those that believe in him will do greater works than the works that he did. He said that those that believe in him will do the works that he did also. Listen to me. Whenever you read the Bible, you want to take the scriptures, imbibe it, eat it, and believe it. You see, a lot of people who are sitting listening to me right now and thinking, how can I do greater works than Jesus did? A lot of people are thinking that, but Jesus is the Son of God. There's no way I can do greater works. But Jesus himself said that. And do you know why we are not doing it? Because we don't believe it. Am I speaking to somebody? And you find out that Jesus, during his time, he did a lot of great works. When he was on earth, he did a lot of supernatural works. He was a supernatural achiever. You know, but the interesting thing is that A lot of times we look at the miracles, but we miss out on the fact that Jesus was quite intelligent. He had wisdom. He had quite a couple of things. So, for example, in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 28, the Bible says something. Verses 28 to 29. Matthew 7, 28 to 29. Are you there? You know, one of the things that you find out about Jesus is that he taught a lot. You know, a lot of times when we talk about the works Jesus did, the people are thinking the miracles and things, and that's part of it. That's a significant part. But one of the things of the works that he did is that he connected with people. He taught people a lot. He was always teaching. And in the book of Matthew 7, 28, the Bible says something. After he had finished teaching, at a point, it says, and so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So Jesus was a supernatural achiever, not just spiritually, but also in the physical. So in the teaching, when they heard him speak, they thought that, hey, hang on, they were astonished. They said that this person, the teachings, he had more authority, much more than the scribes. Now, you find out that these are part of the works that Jesus did. Amen? In the book of Matthew 13, 54 to 56, the Bible says something. Similar scripture, Matthew 13, verses 54 to 56. Let me read from 53. It says, now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. Verse 54, when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue. It says he taught them in their synagogue. Listen to me. At this point, Jesus was not operating, if I use the word, in the spiritual like a lot of us. He was teaching. He was doing what a lot of us are able to do. He was teaching. And the Bible says something. It says that when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Notice what they said next. They said, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his brother called Mary? And his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? Now, get this. Get this. They knew Jesus in the flesh, but Jesus had moved on. By the end of this year, by the grace of God, in the name of Jesus, those that knew you, your case will be like Jesus, whereby they will say that, is this not the carpenter's son? Where did you get this level of wisdom? Oh, am I speaking to somebody? Where did you get this level of wisdom? Where did you get this level of knowledge? Where did you get this information? How come you have developed? How come you have changed so much? The Bible says that Jesus said greater works. You need to get that in your spirit. He said greater works than he did, we will do also. Which means that the way we teach will be even greater than the way Jesus taught. You see, let me move on. Jesus not only performed miracles. He, if I use the word, operated in the physical, in the natural. He spoke with intelligence. He spoke with wisdom. And this morning, what I just want to share with you are certain keys that you need in order to walk in the supernatural. Certain keys that you need that will help you to become a supernatural achiever. Now, those are not what I'll be sharing to you today. Those are not all the keys you need, but those are just some keys that you need. Now, get this. You'll find out that there are some keys that you need in order to that you need to use in order to operate like Jesus did. There are some keys required to that are required in order to do greater works than Jesus did. Listen to me. The identification of the correct key is a prerequisite to opening any door. Any door that is closed, the first thing you need to do is to identify the correct key or keys. If you don't believe me, when you get home this afternoon, bring out your bunch of keys And just select any key at all and use it to open the door. And see whether the door will open or not. You see, if you try to use your car keys to open your front door, what will happen? But you have the key, but you have not identified the correct one. And there are certain keys that you need to begin to identify if you are going to achieve or do great exploits like we've been talking about. Because you may have those keys, but if you don't identify them as the keys that are required to do certain things, then you may be holding the key, but you are not using them. Or you may be holding the key, but not using them the correct way. And you see, until you begin to use the keys that you have the correct way, you can have two. Let me use an example. For those that have two cars, same kind of car, let's say you have two Honda Accords or Hondas. Same car, same model, everything. However, it is only, you cannot use the key of one to open the other one. You need to identify the key that is required to start the car you want to drive at that particular point in time. Am I making sense? So, I believe it's imperative for us to understand that even though that we have declared that this is a year of supernatural exploits, we still have a part to play. We still have certain things we need to do. Amen? And that's what one of a couple of the things I just want to share this morning. You see, get this. When Jesus told Peter to come to him, to step out of the boat, Peter still needed to take that step and go out of the boat before he could walk on water. The fact that the word came and the word of prophecy came did not mean that Peter just started flying or walking. He still had work to do. And the point I'm trying to make is, as much as this is a year of supernatural exploits, we need to understand that we have work to do in order to get those supernatural exploits working for us. Amen. Amen. Just moving on. This morning I'll be using a certain character in the Bible, which is why I've called it Profile of a Supernatural Achiever, to look at some of those keys that we need to operate with. And we'll be looking at Joseph. A couple of things about his life. You see, it's interesting because as I thought about the life of Joseph, you find out that Joseph's life was like a roller coaster. One minute he was his father's favorite son. The next minute he was staring death in the eyes. One minute he was enjoying his father's attention. The next minute his brothers were plotting on how to kill him. And then we find out that he was sold as a slave with no future hope. And then, before the blink of an eyelid, we see him in Potiphar's house enjoying the trappings of success. Even though he was a slave there, he was enjoying the benefits of Potiphar's house. Am I speaking to somebody? Because the Bible makes us to understand that Potiphar did not even know what he ate. He left everything to Joseph. And then he probably thought, I've come to my place of rest. And next minute we find out that, hey, what happened? He found himself in jail. And then from jail to the palace. Now, as I studied his life, one of the things that occurred to me about his life, the interesting thing I found about Joseph's life is that he carried out exploits wherever he was. His location and circumstance was not a hindrance to his performance. Everywhere where Joseph ended up, he performed great exploits. When he was a slave, the Bible says that his master left everything to him. When he was in prison, the Bible makes us to understand that the prison keeper left the prisoners to him. So, his circumstance, his situation was not a hindrance to his performance. When he was with his family, the Bible makes us to understand that he had divinely inspired dreams, so that The Bible makes us to understand that his brothers envied him. In Potiphar's house, he was the overseer. My goodness, am I making sense this morning? When he came out of prison, he became the second in command to Pharaoh. Although his life was like a roller coaster, his level of exploits was constant. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? What I'm trying to say in so many words is that your level of exploits and performance should not be based on what you're going through. It should not be based on what's happening in your life at any point in time. Whether you are in the valley or on the mountain, you should be carrying out supernatural exploits. Whether you are on the field, on a playing field, your level of supernatural exploits should you should be a performer. Oh my goodness, am I speaking? You see, let's look at his life and see some of the things that I believe helped him or that would help us. The first thing that I believe was very key is the fact that God was with him. God was with him. Turn with me to Genesis 39. Somebody say, God was with him. Ask the person next to you, is God with you? Genesis 39, verse 2. And I'll make you understand why I told you to ask. Genesis 39, verse 2. Are you there? The Bible says, let me read from verse 1. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. Notice that. And he was a successful man as a slave. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house. And all that he had, he put under his authority. This is somebody that was sold as a slave. And the Bible makes us to understand that the master noticed, he perceived that come, the hand of God is upon this man's life. And the Bible says he made him the overseer of his house. Listen to me. Let me show you another in verse 21 before I make my point. Verse 21. Are you there? Now, let me read from verse 20. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. Verse 21, notice it again. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands, notice that a prisoner, all the prisoners who were in the prison. So it was a special kind of prisoner. It says, whatever they did, it was his doing. So, get this. You need to get this. I'm trying to make a point here. He was in prison, but he was a supernatural achiever in prison. He says, everything the prisoners did, he was the one controlling the prison. Oh my goodness. He was locked up, but he was controlling. He was locked up, but he was still performing. Is this making sense? And then in verse 23, it says, the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. I believe that's the first key that you need to become a supernatural achiever. You see, the Bible says that God was with him. You see, when you have God on your side, you have no choice but to excel. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says something. It says that if God is for us, who can be against us? Get this, when God is for you, everything will work in your favor. contrary wind, when God is with you, every contrary wind will eventually favor you. You see, Joseph, during his lifetime, experienced a couple of contrary winds. But you find out that every time the contrary wind happened in his life, God was there and he was with him in the contrary wind. Get this. In order to achieve things supernaturally, you want to ensure God is in it with you. You see, it's not everything that we do that God is in it with us. Let me repeat that. It is not everything that you do, that we do, that God is in it with us. But this year, in order to achieve much, in order to be a supernatural achiever, we want to ensure that God is in it with us before we start. Am I making sense? Let me use an example. Let me use an example. Let me use an example. For people that, let's say someone is looking for a job and they get a fantastic job, paying a six-figure sum. But in order to get that job, they lied on their CV. Do you think God is going to be in that job with them?
No.
I'm asking, do you think? I think I'm searching some emails. You see, you need to understand something. What God is not in it, don't expect to supernaturally achieve in it. You know, in Exodus 33, when the Israelites were going, and at one stage, God was a bit upset with the Israelites. Moses said, I'm not moving unless you go with us. You see, you find out that even it does not, get this. The mistake a lot of people make is that they think that if they can help themselves, God will join them in it. So we try to help ourselves and we pray that God, since I've moved here, I think you should come and join me. Am I making sense? You see, one of the things is that God was with Joseph. That's why every contrary wind that was coming his way, he was working in his favor. When he was in prison, he worked in his favor. As a slave, he worked in his favor. You see, I'd rather be in a pit and have God with me than be in the palace and not have God there. If you can get what I just said, then you will understand that it is key to you achieving much this year to ensure that the things that you are doing, God is in it with you. You know, as I read the scripture, I found myself pondering upon the scripture and thinking to myself, okay, the Bible says God was with him. But the Bible did not tell us what Joseph did for God to have been with him. Or how he acted and various things. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us. But as I pondered, I started deducing a couple of things and these are not some of the keys, but I just want to share some of the things that I believe. You see, when it says God is with you, backtrack a bit. It means God approved of all he was doing. It means God's hand was upon his life. Now, some of the things that I deduced, and I use the word deduce, like I said, the Bible doesn't tell us. But some of these things I deduce that probably caused God to be with him all the time. One of the things that I deduced is, number one, the fact that he had integrity. You see, he was such that Joseph had integrity. That's one of the reasons why the Potiphar could trust him with everything. Pharaoh could trust him with everything. The prison officer could trust him with everything, or prison keeper. In fact, in Genesis 37, from verses 1 to 3, it says something. It says that he brought a bad report about his brothers. So possibly the brothers were doing something they were not meant to be doing. But because of his integrity, he went to tell his father that, look, this, they are doing this, I cannot get involved in it. You see, one of the things that will help you for God to always be with you is integrity. You see, integrity is who you are when nobody is looking. Integrity is for a married man or woman when you are not with your wife. When you travel for work, what do you do? Integrity. Integrity is not who you are in public and then somebody else in private. Integrity is you being who you are both in private and in public. And I believe that that's one of the things that Joseph had. He had integrity. Not saying one thing, but doing something else. You see, when you have integrity, you can be certain that God will be with you. The second thing that I think, and I deduced, and I use the word deduced, that I think helped him, or one of the things that I believe why God was with him, is that he had self-control. He was disciplined. What do I mean by that? The Bible makes us to understand that Potiphar's wife used to chase him around. Practically, pestering him, lie with me. Lie with me. Get this, nobody would have known. How many men will have offers like that? If you can get away with it. I remember some years ago, a certain friend of mine used to work on a project with me. Different projects. And he was implementing a project in, I think, Spain or France or something. And there was this lady on the project with him who, you know, they got friendly. He just used to joke and all that. He's a Christian, but used to joke with her and just joke with everybody and things. Anyway, one day they went out, you know, the whole project team went out to eat. And, you know, the other guy started drinking and stuff like that. Anyway, I think I don't know whether he left early or whether they all went back to his room. But he said at about maybe 1 o'clock or maybe 12 p.m., midnight anyway, late in the night, he just heard a knock on his door. And he thought maybe one of the project guys. So he opened the door and there was this lady coming. And maybe just robe. And then she just grabbed him and then removed it and she was naked. This happened though. Seriously. Now get this. A lot of people, when you see a naked woman, your head stops working. But this friend of mine, what did he do? He said he ran out of the room. He ran out of the room. He did not trust himself to tell her no. So he ran. But the point I'm making, his wife and children were in London. They wouldn't have known. His colleagues wouldn't have known because they probably would have been asleep. Nobody but two of them would have known what happened. In quotes, he could have gotten away with it without anybody knowing. But he ran. I'm talking to you that sometimes you sneak and go and watch pornography. Or those. And then it's quiet. The Spirit of the Lord is hovering, searching the minds, searching the hearts. Let me move on quickly. Next thing that I think, and I used the word deduced, is that in all he did, he wanted to please God. Why do I say that? Because when the Bible tells us that, when Potiphar's wife was pestering him, what did he say? He said, "How can I sin against God?" So his desire was to please God. And then, fourth thing that I think, and I use the word think or deduce why God was with him, is that he was loyal. Because one of the things he said is that he thought about Potiphar. He said, "How can I do this to my master that has given all this to me?" But once again, you know that he could have gotten away with it because his master wouldn't have known, nobody would have known. Now, when you think of all this, it is no surprise to me that the Bible tells us that God was with him. And maybe if we can start trying to do some of those things or living our life in a certain manner, we can always say that God is with me, irrespective of what situation I find myself in. Am I making sense? The first key is, what did I say? God was with him. Second key. Second key is faith. If you are going to do supernatural exploits this year, you need faith. Now, when I say faith, I mean faith whereby you believe and have a conviction. I've been saying supernatural exploits. People have been saying amen, amen. But I can be certain that a lot of people don't believe. A lot of people say amen as a function of Christianity. So when they say something, before they think about what's said, we say amen. Just like, you know, when they say offering time, blessing time. And sometimes when we are moving, bringing the blessing out, we are frowning out our face. Yeah. But get this. You need faith. What do I mean? Let's look at it in the life of Joseph. Genesis 40. Are you getting blessed this afternoon, this morning? Genesis chapter 40, verse 8. Let me read from verse 7. It says, "So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his Lord's house, saying, 'Why do you look so sad today?' And they said to him, 'We have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it.' So Joseph said to them, 'Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please.'" What does that mean? He had faith. He believed that God would tell him the interpretation, even before he heard the dream. Let's look at Genesis 41:16. Let me show you when 41:16. Or 40, let me read from 15. It says, "And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I have had a dream, and there's no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it.' So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, 'It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer.'" So once again, when Pharaoh said, "I have had a dream," he had not even heard what the dream. He said, "God will give the answer." What does that mean? He had faith in God. Am I making sense? Before he even heard the dream, he was already saying that, I'll tell you what it means. That is a level of faith he had in the God. Listen to me. You see, you need to have faith in God. One. And then you need to have faith in the power that God has put in you.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says something. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all, that we may ask or think, what? According to the power in us. So you need to have faith in the power that he has put in you. Because it is the power that he has put in you that will make you to begin to do things that are exceedingly. Am I making sense? That's what will make you to begin to perform. And as you perform, God will put his mark of approval upon it. Oh my goodness. I hope somebody is getting what I'm saying this morning. You see, get this. Get this. You can only do the things that you believe you can do. You can only achieve those things that you believe you have the ability to do it. If you don't believe something, it will be very difficult for you to do it. Even though God may have given you all the ingredients, all the skills, all the talents, all the abilities that you need for that thing. You see, when you have certain goals and you don't believe that you can achieve those goals, it is difficult for you to achieve those goals. And until you start having faith, number one, in God that has spoken the word, and then number two, in the power that God has put in you, which basically is having faith in yourself. When I say faith in yourself, that's not blasphemy. But believing the things that God has said concerning you. Then, until you start doing that, you see, Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says something. It says, God calls those things that are not as if they were. The fact that God has called it means that you are able to. The fact that this year, God has said that this is a year of supernatural exploits, means that you are able to do supernatural exploits. The fact that this year, God has said this is a year of supernatural exploits, means that although you may have tried in the past, if God has said that this is what concerning your life, this year you'll be able to do it. Although you may have tried the exam so many times and failed, this year, because this is a year of supernatural exploits, you will pass it. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? Get this. You need to get this. You see, great people are willing to take big risks on God. Faith gives you the conviction when your natural senses begin to doubt. In fact, before they even doubt. You see, when you have faith, the mountains that are before you will look like a plain. And that's one of the things that will cost you, one of the keys you need. That's one of the keys you need this year. We need this year in order for us to be able to do supernatural exploits. Somebody say faith. You see, your level of faith is directly proportional to the amount of supernatural exploits you will experience in your life. Get this. Faith is what will make you speak a prophetic word when you have no idea about somebody's situation. The first time that God gave me a word of prophecy for someone, years ago, and I heard the word and I knew that it was God. But I started thinking, well, what if? What if? What if? And I did not speak it the first time. I did not have the faith. But then when I caught the faith and I realized that, God, if you have told me, I believe it's you speaking. It's no longer my business. Because it is God. Am I making sense? You see, when you have faith, it is not your business how it's going to happen. That's none of your business. What you need to do is just do the things you ought to do. How God does it is none of... The Bible says something in the book of is it 2 Kings. It says that now you, that you shall see no wind, nor rain, but this valley shall be full of water. It means that, hey, you will not have an understanding how it happened. But because I've spoken it, it will surely happen. Oh my goodness. Am I speaking to somebody? Somebody say faith.
Faith.
You need faith. The third key you need. First one was what? God was, you need God to be with you. Number two, faith. The third key you need this year, you need information. You need information. Somebody say information.
Information.
I want you to say it like we say it in our country. You know, sometimes when you emphasize each syllable, you get information.
Information.
You see, one of the things that distinguishes supernatural achievers from underachievers is information. You know what I found out? Information is readily available, but a lot of people are too lazy to look for it. There is no information you need these days that you cannot find if you search for it. None. Or hardly any. Let me use that word. But a lot of people are too lazy to look for it. You know, information is knowledge. Information is power. In organizations, people withhold information because they know that it gives them the power. You know, sometimes what differentiates a director from a manager? The director has more information than the manager. What differentiates the manager from a normal team member? The manager has more information than the normal team member. Information will cause you to begin to achieve much more than others. People that seek information, they are regarded after some time as experts in that area of, if it's a particular area. I've spoken about this gentleman before, John Maxwell. You know, now we call him experts in leadership. He talks about leadership. Everybody reads his books. But you know, it's interesting because I read his books as well. And one day I was reading his book, and it just occurred to me that all this guy does is he brings different people's thoughts and stories and brings it together. And then he sells it to us in a book. And he makes millions. And he's regarded as an expert in leadership. Because when you read his book, he will quote this person, quote that person, quote this, quote that, tell a story, tell another story, and bring it all together. He found the information and he's selling it to us. And we are all buying his books and putting it on our shelves and reading it. The information is out there, but he's brought it together. Am I making sense? You see, when you have information, it will make a lot of difference. In the life of Joseph, time will not permit me, but you find out that Joseph had information that the chief butler, the baker, Pharaoh did not have. He had information about God. What do I mean by that? He had information that God is able to interpret dreams. That's all the information he had. Do you know that? That is all the information he had. That God is able to interpret dreams. He had that information. And the information he had did what for him? It moved him to another level. What brought him out of the prison? The information he had. The information he had, he got the interpretation of the dreams. That was an information that Pharaoh did not have. I was thinking to myself that I wonder what would have happened if we had been unable to interpret the dreams. He probably would have been sent back to prison, possibly. But because he had that information, he became a supernatural achiever. Information. You see, 95%, if not more, of the population, they wait for somebody to bring information to them. But for those that want to become supernatural achievers, you want to go and seek information and have more than other people have, depending on the area in which you want to achieve. Information. You know, the Bible says in the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, the lack of knowledge can kill. Some years ago, up till the year 1747, the disease called scurvy, or illness called scurvy, used to kill sailors and people that were at sea for a long time. Now, they did not know the cause. But when they found out that it is caused by a deficiency of vitamin C, immediately the death rates reduced among sailors. What made the difference? Information. So anybody that tells you what you don't know cannot kill, they are telling a lie. Oh, how did they say, what you don't know cannot hurt you? It is a lie. What you don't know can kill. Even if it doesn't kill physically, it can kill the dreams and vision. It can frustrate and strangle. Let me give you the last one and we'll round up. The last thing, key that you need, that I believe we really need to begin to pray about, wisdom. You know, one of the things Joseph had, he had wisdom. You see, it's not enough to have information. You need wisdom on how to use that information. If Joseph had interpreted the dream and not given the wisdom, he may have been released and had his freedom, but he may not have become the prime minister. So it's one thing to have the information, but then how do I use the information I have? What's wisdom? What's the wisdom? How do I use it? Let me finish with an illustration. You know, my brother, who is an architect, recently, you know, I was with him, and he designed a house. He did the drawings for a house for a certain gentleman in Nigeria. And in a bid to save money, the gentleman he paid for the drawings and everything, and then took it to, I don't know who, maybe a bricklayer or builder, let me just call it a builder, and took it to the builder to project manage the building of the house. The builder started building and everything using the drawings. But while I was in Nigeria, my brother got a phone call from that gentleman that he needs him, that the person that is helping him to build him has messed up what he's meant to be building. That can my brother come and help to rectify the work? Now, what am I saying? The builder had the information, the drawings, but he did not have the wisdom on how to use that information. So, although he had the information, but in trying to use that information, he messed it up because he didn't have the wisdom. So, not only do you need information, you need the wisdom in order to be able to achieve supernaturally. Let's rise up and pray.